many years ago, our firstborn was taking a bath at the age of about two, and or maybe one and a half. Two. We had told him, Ben, you gotta, you know, be calm in the tub so you don't get the water out on the floor, right? And he had many times we go and it's soaked, right? Got the bath toys in there, having a good time. Anybody remember fun bath time? Except for those of you that were scared of it or hated it or whatever, and you would run with your dirty little bodies away from the bath. Well, anyway, he was having a good time. He had this little plastic fish bath toy, and, you know, it would squeeze and make a sound, and you could actually fill it up with water, which is a fascinating thing. And he thought, apparently. So we go in there after these repeated warnings, and once again, it's, you know, waterlogged in there. So we start to correct, and then we are told with great confidence that the fish did it. And he holds up the fish did it, because apparently he had been squeezing the water out of the fish the whole time. So, I mean, that's just one of thousands of those little moments, right, where there is this parent-child confrontation, right? There's this disobedience. Now, so much of it is cloaked in cuteness at the young age, right? But if you don't figure out how to deal with that stuff, it's not so cute later on, right? And you can have some pretty unseemly battles in the home, right? You can be treating the people you love the most the worst, right? This is something we're all familiar with. So we need to know what God has to say about family relationships, right? Now, last time we talked about big picture, right? God's design for families. Where did they come from? We talked about how God is a triune God. And so one God, three persons, each person fully God. We don't know how it works, but it's clearly taught in Scripture. And so what we find out is that relationship is a part of the very nature of God, right? So then when he creates mankind, his greatest creation, because they're made in his image, he creates them in relationship and for relationship. In fact, when there was only one of the humans, he said it's not good for man to be alone, right? Creates a helper. So God tells them, go be fruitful, multiply, represent him as they govern the earth. So God's will is to have relationships with people and for them to have family relationships. All right? And then he has a destination for these families. They are blessed through the gospel, as he promises to Abraham. And then he gives directions. We're to love, we're to respect, we're to avoid extremes like neglect and idolatry. So that's what we talked about last time. Now, if you can just get the image in your mind of the Google Maps starting with the earth, and then you zoom in to America, and then you zoom in to Maryland, and zoom in to Gaithersburg, right? That's kind of how we're approaching this. So we started with this big picture, and now we're going to go a little bit more into detail. We could spend months on this topic and keep drilling down. So we're going to drill down a little bit more. You may have questions afterwards. Please talk about those questions in your groups. If you have something that's kind of like you're going to need a longer conversation with it, then feel free to, you know, I'm more than happy to talk with you, set up a time to talk through these. These are real life things. We all go through these. We need to be able to talk them out and look at God's word with someone. Okay, so the passage we're going to study together is a familiar one, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Does anybody already have this passage memorized? Starts with children. Children. What? Obey your parents, what? For this is, there you go. This is the, that it may, and that you may. All right. Do you know the next part to fathers? Oh, it's behind. Gosh, I'm so impressed. Gosh, look at that there. Okay. All right, well done. Anyway, did anybody actually have it memorized even without looking at the? Okay, I thought so. All right. Okay. Did you have it memorized because you memorized it because you wanted to, or was it quoted at you? Okay. All right, well, so here's the thing. You know how sometimes we can become so familiar with something that we don't recognize it, right? We don't let it soak in, okay? So this is a passage from God's word, right? This is, I mean, think about it. He calls out a certain group of people. That should be like a total heads up. Like, children, am I a children? I'm a child. Yes, yes, I have parents. Okay, what am I being told by God, the creator of the universe, about being a child of my parents? All right, you see? And then fathers, like, I should be, you know, kind of shaking in my boots and also excited, like, oh, man, I'm being called out. What's God telling me? I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be helpful. May not be easy, but it's going to be helpful, right? You see that? That when you get a command like that, we don't have to run from the commands, right? We can run to the commands because God is going to, he's going to tell us this stuff to bless us, right? Then he's going to give us the motivation for it and the power for it if we just keep reading and following and obeying and believing. So this is good stuff, okay? So let's look at it. Well, first of all, let me ask you, are there, I kind of answered this one already, but are there any commands in the passage? You say, yes. Who are they directed to? Children and fathers. Now, does this mean mothers are not included here? No, in this particular passage, it does emphasize fathers as the head of the home, but in plenty of other passages, all through Proverbs and other places, it's father and mother. In fact, even in this passage, it unpacks it a little more and includes father and mother. So and this is important because during the time when this was written, women in the society were not esteemed as highly, right? And so Paul is making sure that, you know, hey, children, you're not just obeying and honoring dad. You're obeying and honoring mom, right? I had to tell my kids, especially my boys when they got older, if, you know, sometimes you just need, we don't need to be sinfully, harshly angry, but sometimes you do need to be firm, you know. And so there were times, especially if there's disrespect, you know, where I just say, hey, don't be messing with my woman, okay, to my kids, you know, because they weren't thinking about it like that, you know. So how many commands are there for each category? Do you know? Close, very close. Okay, so two and two, right? Obey and honor for the kids, and then don't provoke to anger and bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, okay? So we're going to kind of break this down a little bit, but before we look at them in detail, let me ask this. Does God have the right to command us? Yes, he absolutely does, right? So if you're confused on that, we just refer you to the first message we had about relationship with God, right? Remember how we talked about we're doubly owned? He made us and paid for us, right? So he has a right to command us. And isn't it awesome to know that his motives are the purest of motives, right? His motives are off the charts love, right? So let's look at it. Commands to children. Obey and honor your parents, right? We got that. Okay. How? This is the part that becomes the little unintentional throwaway phrase that makes all the difference. How to obey them? In the Lord, right? In the Lord. Obey them in the Lord. So this is not a disconnect from your relationship with the Lord, right? Think about this. Think about this. If you are currently having any difficulty in your relationship with your parents or have had, okay? Think about this. Have you been or are you just reacting to them, to some mistake, some weakness, some sin, right? The parents, they're not perfect because they're parents. They're humans, right? So they should be ahead of you a little bit, hopefully with wisdom and such. But still, there's lots of different situations out there. And some of you guys have believing parents. Some of you have unbelieving parents, right? Some of you may parent not be in the picture, right? There's lots of different scenarios out there, okay? But think about in your response to them, you as the child before God, are you reacting to them or are you responding to God's word? Okay? And then, of course, I would say to myself and other parents in the house, am I reacting to my kids or am I responding to God's word? I can't tell you how many times I've had to say, guys, what I said was right, but the way I said it was wrong. Please forgive me. I was impatient. It's humbling, right? Especially if they're really little. You know, you're like, please forgive me for being.
Okay, Dad. What did you do again? You know.
All right. So, obey and honor. How? In the Lord, right? Don't have a disconnect here, right? If you are responding to the Lord, then it doesn't matter if the parent blew it. It doesn't matter if you're having trouble communicating. It doesn't matter if there's a generation gap. It doesn't matter if they don't understand. It doesn't matter if they are yelling at you. All that stuff. I'm not excusing the sin. I'm just saying that don't let that mess you up, because then you're living by circumstances. You're living by feelings. You're living by emotion. You're living by reacting to people. If you're God's, respond to God, right? He's the boss's boss. He's the ultimate authority. You're going to have more blessing in your life, more joy in your life, more peace in your life if you're responding to him and his word, the vertical relationship, right? It's going to bless. Now, you know, best case scenario, everybody in the house is working on this same thing, right? But even if not, if you are responding to God and his word, regardless of the circumstances, right? No yeah buts. Well, I hear you, Paul. Yeah, but you don't know how it is in my house, man. You know, it's, don't even get me started, right? It doesn't qualify, right? It doesn't say, well, now we know some of you are in very difficult situations, and so you are exempt from this particular command. Doesn't say that, right? So we've got to trust the Lord with this and say, you know what, if I'm doing this in the Lord, if I'm his and I'm doing this for him, there's going to be blessing in that even if it's difficult. You tracking so far? Yes? Okay. Why? For this is right. You got to love that. It's like, hey, this is right. This is the right thing to do. The one who has the standard of right is saying this is right. Okay. Now, a little bit for the parents, and I know that most of you in the room are not parents. However, I think it's good for you to know this instruction, and you got to be careful with this, right? When you're reading somebody else's instructions, okay, you can learn from that. You can learn how to respond to them directly, and then you can also learn indirectly where you're storing it up for when you're in that role. But you don't use it to beat them over the head with it, okay? So that would go with husbands and wives too. If you're the husband, you're not looking at the wife's part and making sure she's obeying her part. You're looking at your part first, right? If you're the child, you're looking at your part first. But it is instructive to know all of God's word, is it not? Okay, so don't provoke your children to anger. Now, this is not, well, it made me mad because you wouldn't let me have another cookie, or it made me mad because I couldn't go to that party, or it made me mad because you discipline me. Don't you know this is 2018 where we just explore our environment? We don't need to have correction imposed on us, right? What? No, it's not talking about that, okay? It's talking about don't unnecessarily frustrate because of the way you're training and instructing and correcting, etc., right? So I gave you an example in my own life before, right? I told my kids the correct thing, but not in the correct way. So I needed to humble myself and ask forgiveness because my impatience was provoking them to anger, okay? Next, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. All right, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. How? Well, Deuteronomy 6 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them what? Diligently to your children. And talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the way, when you lie down, when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, frontless between your eyes. Write them on the doorpost of your house, on your gates. In other words, go all out to teach God's word, right? Love God, know God's word, diligently teach your children God's word. When? Throughout the day. Where? Inside the home. Where else? Outside of the home. Okay? Not just, well, check off family devotions, and then forget it. No. As you're going throughout the day, right? Now, if God is commanding parents in this way, then how should you relate to them? If you know that, if now, obviously, lots of different situations, right? So let's take the Christian home. If you have parents that are Christians and you know they want to follow God's word and they want to do this, and then they're teaching you, don't you want to make it easy for them to teach you? If God's telling you to obey and honor them, oh boy. If God's telling you to obey and honor them, and then he's telling them to train you and teach you his word, don't you want to make that easy, right? Don't you want to have a humble attitude? Don't you want to listen well, consider, remember? Listen to this. Honor means give weight to. Are you giving weight to their words? Are you remembering when the friend told you 3 months ago about the party they were going to have next week, but yet you're forgetting to take out the trash when you were just told by one of your parents 2 days ago? You see? Like, what are you giving weight to? And it's not about the trash, right? It's about God telling your parents how to interact with you, how to train you, and God telling you how to relate to them. So it's about you and God. You see, it takes that. It's so much more delightful when we do it God's way, right? Think about it. You're just going to keep getting in these power struggles if you keep reacting to each other, right? You just spiral out of control that way. But if you respond to God's word, man, there's blessing in that. Okay, make it easy for them to teach you. Ask them questions about scripture to learn, not to manipulate, right? So, like, if they're not teaching you God's word, then you read it and go ask them questions about it, okay? Don't just say, oh, well, my parents aren't godly because they won't teach me diligently God's word, you know? Don't put it on them. You go and you get before God and you say, okay, I want to do what God tells me to do. I want to obey and honor, but also want to learn God's word, and God's telling them to teach me, so I want to make it easy for them. Now, Judges 2, I don't know if you've ever read this, but in Judges 2, it says some crazy stuff. All right? It says, after the days of Joshua, the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and then he died at 110. He was a robust man, apparently. Lived 110. They buried him. All that generation died, right? And then there rose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done. Why didn't they know the Lord? The generation didn't pass it down, right? So then it says they got into idolatry. Now, this is something that I think not only for your parents, but for you too, because one day you're going to be the parent. Think multi-generationally, right? Don't you want God's word to pass from one generation to the next? You've got to teach it. You've got to model it. You've got to show it. You've got to speak of God's ways for that to happen, okay? This is a joy. Now, what do these commands imply? One, that there is a thing called authority, okay? Now, when my kids were little, they had this thing mixed up about authority. Okay, I don't know if there's any pictures of them, but they would think about it like, I don't know where they got this from, but they thought, okay, Dad's in charge of Mom, Mom's in charge of Ben, Ben's in charge of Rachel, Rachel's in charge of David, David's in charge of Jonathan, Jonathan's in charge of Hannah, and Hannah's in charge of the dog. That's how they thought. I'm like, guys, you don't have any authority, okay? You So we had to talk about this whole thing about authority, right? It's not a bad word. It's not a bad word. It's a good thing. It's in Romans 13, it says that it's God's idea. God established all authority, okay? God is the one that set it up. And so even if it's the worst authority possible, right, still you're going to be blessed if you submit to that authority. And if you are in authority, then you want to follow God's instructions for how to be in authority and not lording it over, but leading by example, okay? All right. A quick little word about privacy. This is a danger in our culture where it's kind of normal to keep things from your parents. In fact, there's entire social media and apps that are designed to run from parents. You know, like the young people start off on one social media, then the parents found out about it, and then they went to another one, and things like that. So it's kind of culturally accepted, but is it biblically accepted? Biblically, it doesn't really make sense, right? Think about if you have parents, why do you have them? Like, out of the billions of people in the world, God assigned another older human or two to you, to love you, to train you, to help you. And if you talk to a parent, you know, go talk to a new parent, it's like all of a sudden their mindset has changed. They have this love for this little baby that they can't, it's like, where did that come from? And you keep it, man. You keep it the rest of your life, right? I guarantee you your parents love you more than you think they do. I guarantee you. Okay? Now, some of them, you know, sometimes we don't know how to show it as well as we should, and we're working on that. So the point is, you don't want to stifle a God-given channel of grace by keeping your life from your parents, you know? So don't make them interview you and investigate and interrogate and all that. Just tell them about your life, okay? Because they're not going to have a chance to weigh in with any kind of wisdom for you without that, all right? We can talk more about that later. There's a lot of information on that that I think that's another example of drilling down that might be helpful for you, so we can do that offline if you like. Okay, communication. God loves, so we love. God speaks, so we speak. If you know God, the more you know God, the more you love God. The more you love God, the more you love people. The more you love people, the more you serve people. And the way you do it is by speaking the truth in love. A lot of Ephesians talks about that. Speaking the truth in love. So you don't water down the truth. You don't run from the truth. You don't deceive. You don't exaggerate. You don't flatter. All that stuff that gets in the way of truth. But when you speak it, you don't do it as if you're, you know, it's okay because you're a straight shooter. So you can, you know, they'll just have to deal with it because I shoot straight. Well, the Bible says speak the truth in love, okay? Communication is a dialogue, not a monologue. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. All right? That goes both ways in these teen parent arguments, right? Not letting the other person speak, right? We got to slow down, listen to one another, be patient. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So if someone in your life that loves you is trying to get you to talk, it's probably because they love you and they want to see what's going on so they can help you, okay? All right, conflict. We could do a whole one on this as well. But we'll just do a few verses here. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all, even your family members. Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. He who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Matthew 5:18, one of them says, if somebody has sinned against you, go to them. And then another one says the reverse, that if you've sinned against them, go to them. Either way, go and work it out. Don't wait for them to come. Well, it was their fault, so they should come to me. Well, try to figure out if it's even 10% your fault and go humble yourself, ask forgiveness for that part, be reconciled. Ephesians 4 tells us more about how to do this with gentleness, with humility, with patience, with forbearance, diligently eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. more practicals, there's actually a book called Peacemaking for Families, a biblical guide to managing conflict in your home. We wouldn't be told to obey and to honor and to not provoke to anger if there wasn't this commonality of conflict, right? So we need to know how to do it. Never give up on improving the relationship. Never give up on improving the relationship. And you know you got that promise, right? That promise in Ephesians 6. If you want things to go well, right? If you want to enjoy life in the land, then follow these commands. What is our motive to apply this? The gospel, right? Think about ways, and maybe you can talk about this in your groups. How can the gospel inform our obedience in this area? And then, where do we have the power to do this? This is tough. Some days it's easy, some days it's really tough, right? We have the Holy Spirit. We have God's Word. We have all we need to make a little bit of progress in this area, right? So if you're discouraged in this area, please don't give up. It might be hard. You might have to get outside help. That's okay, right? You might have to go home tonight and ask forgiveness. You might have to say, you know what? I don't want to. It seems like every time we talk about certain things, we argue, and I want to ask forgiveness for my part of that. But also, I want our relationship to be better, and I want you to tell me what can I do to make it better. There's lots of ways that you can make steps, take steps that can help you in this area, and you'll be so thankful, so thankful. Lord, thank you for this familiar but deep scripture that gives us specific directions, Lord. Sometimes some of the things that are the easiest to understand are the hardest to apply and live out. Help us, Lord. And we thank you for the grace that you have given in so many lives where this is the norm, the normal activity in the home, Lord. But we all are growing. We're all still battling sin. We need you. We need your Spirit to help us with this, Lord. So please, may you give much more grace. Help us to press into this and give us a conviction and encouragement to a desire to obey in this way. And I just thank you for the joy and peace and blessing that will pile up in these homes as we simply follow your word. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to take some time in groups now. So just follow your group leaders. That way you won't get confused about where to go. So we are running a little bit late tonight. I apologize for that. But let's take 15, 20 minutes in the groups, and then we can have some fun after that. Thank you, guys. Group leaders, JD's going to bring around some pens and cards in case anybody has questions beyond your group time. They can write those down. Thank you.